Hi, Paul. It's really exciting having you on this podcast. How are you today?
Pretty good, David. Good to see you as well.
I'm really excited about this conversation because you have been in the industry for the last 30 years. You have had many, many experiences and so many people know you already. But for those that haven't met you yet, could you just say a few words of who you are, what you do, and what you're passionate about?
Yeah, absolutely. No, and it's great to talk with everybody today. My background, as you say, over 30 years, I'm quite old, really providing technology solutions to customers. The last 28 years have been very focused on life sciences, with really thinking about what's happened in that life sciences space over those 28 years. An awful lot of technology solutions have gone through life cycles with the industry itself. And a lot of those are focused on primarily historically compliance requirements. We all had to meet a compliance requirement, so we all put a system in place to solve that problem. And you know, that's where I've been sat. I've been sat on the vendor side delivering those solutions, and that's changed radically over the last 10 years, to be honest with you, where we've moved from systems which have been very sort of best of breed, specific for a particular small piece of a process, to now thinking about end-to-end solutions and end-to-end processes, where we're needing to bring together even multiple players within an organization, whereas previously you've delivered a solution for maybe a small group of users, you're now having to think about multiple thousands of users and delivering it in a way that is not static, delivering it in a way which is dynamic and changes over time to continually improve. So it's been quite a transition over the last 20 years from where we were to what now sort of multi-tenant SaaS delivery is typical. And it's been a fun place to be as well. You know, with all of these things, whenever there's a compliance requirement, that challenge also lays out challenges for the companies, the organizations who have to implement it, but also the technology vendors who are now able to use new types of tooling. We've developed products, we have new capabilities. And certainly the things that we can do today were not even possible 20 years ago. So it's a great place to be.
And it's fantastic getting your experiences because, first of all, technology is evolving rapidly. Like even in 3 years, it has evolved so much that it's kind of exponential growth. And you've been there for quite some time. So you've seen that whole kind of evolution of technology. And you've been in technology, you've been on the vendor side. We know that technology is the enabler, especially in today's age, because the volume of data that has to be handled is expanding rapidly. The complexity of the technology landscape is also more complex. So it's quite a challenging place to be, but also exciting. But I don't want to talk about technology as much today as I want to talk about other impacts on technology. So three things: people, processes, and data. And I know that you've been involved in so many change programs where, even though you are the technology provider and you're the expert on technology, you're very passionate about the other three things. So could you tell me a little bit about different programs you've been involved in, what you've seen with the companies, how they look at things? And we can just start with this and then go through the three pieces.
You know, there's this old adage that you have a technology switch, you switch it on and every problem solved. It's never the case. And that's why I believe so much in focusing on that people, process, data piece. Data is also the new thing. People and process technology was everybody, whatever we used to talk about, but now data is key to a piece of this. And you know, what you find is that there's an expectation that the technology is going to solve all those problems. In reality, when you think about how an organization works, it's all based around a particular desire and a goal that you're trying to achieve at the end of the day. And there's a process you go through to get to that goal. But the only way you can get there is actually by using the people in the organization to do that. And what we see is that oftentimes people stumble over the fact that they've built a process which is saying, someone creates something over here, passes it over to somebody else. That person, the first thing they do is check it. Did they get the right information? The second thing they do is pass it back if it was wrong. And then they actually then do what they need to do to that piece of the process and pass it on to somebody else. And with all of these transitions that happen, you can end up with processes which have so many check steps, so many verifications in them, that you spend most of your life verifying data or validating a process. You're not actually adding value. And that's the key thing, is that the people, the process and the data are supposed to be there to actually add value to a user who needs to consume that information. So whenever we see those sorts of processes, you look at a process map and someone's done a very detailed view of that process map, but you see person A does something, person B checks it, person C does something, person D checks it. It's a waste of time. And the efficiency is not going to be gained by adding technology. And the efficiency can only be gained by removing that requirement for those verifications. And we see it all the time with customers who've have a very structured way of dealing with that that challenge. The structure, unfortunately, has introduced too many things to do. Everybody checks everything. And you have to ask the question, well, it's okay to check it once, but why am I checking the same piece three or four times? When I step back from that process and look at how we're doing that, where are the value adds in all of that? If we can leverage the technology to do some of that potentially checking or quality assessment map automatically, then maybe we can significantly improve the process. So when you talk to customers who come to you and say, I really want to get my filings to market much quicker, you have to ask, the technology is not going to be the answer to that. It's going to be part of the answer, but you have to think about what's the process you're going to follow, who are the people, and how are they actually living that process, and what value do they see in that process? But also nowadays with the data piece, how do we make sure that data is being governed in the right way? How do we actually make sure that that data has good quality? Because data has no value if it has no quality.
I fully agree with this. The world is globalized, first of all, so we have to follow the laws and regulations of various regions, even on country level. Regulators have been adding new regulations, and the way companies have been handling this so far was, okay, there's a new regulation, there's a new challenge, let's just create a solution for that, potentially a siloed system. And I guess every department was looking at their own problems and how can they solve these problems. We have kind of new regulations where all of a sudden we are breaking the barriers between departments. So all of a sudden departments have to collaborate, even though it's not the easiest thing to do. But also then there's a technology piece, especially with IDMP. You have to get data from various pieces, and then someone has to process that. So maybe if we start with the process, I guess we understand the challenge and where, you know, the industry is coming from. But what would you see as a solution in streamlining these processes? Like, where do we even start? How can we put all of the people together in the same room and say, hey, actually, in this company, we have to get from point A to point B, as you said. How can we make this in an efficient manner?
The biggest piece of that process barrier is really identifying where there are handoffs that are happening within the process. What's the construct of that handoff? Is the construct of the handoff an email, a phone call, a spreadsheet? If that's happening, then in reality, what you've not done is actually streamline the process. It's really hard because you've created an artificial barrier. So you have to think about those barriers and remove those handoffs. The handoff shouldn't be required because effectively everybody should be using the same piece of information. It should be a case of understanding the role and responsibility of each person in that process to say, someone is responsible for filling this piece of the information in at this point in time. And then within that process, have an organization that trusts the process to actually ensure that when it's handed off to somebody else, all they're doing is going to that next piece of information and filling in some more piece of the process, filling some more piece of data that might be required. But they trust what's come before it. So it's actually making sure that within that process, people trust that the process is going to deliver the result, the end game. And that's the key there is to try and have a process where there's an aspect of trust, remove the handoffs that happen outside of systems, put the handoff within the system and bring the users to the system to actually automate that for you. So it's really thinking about that flow where you're no longer moving information around the system, you're actually moving people through the information. And that's a different way of viewing things. Moving people around the information means the information stays static. You don't need to hand it off. Now, sometimes you will. Sometimes there are system barriers that mean you need to do actually automate that process of handoff. Say you're going from your regulatory approval through to your product supply. There is going to be some handoff, but automate that. Don't make that a manual process. Don't make that something where there's an awful lot of effort required to actually get that correct. Put something in place where the technology can help you do that.
I really like this mindset, and I really like the notion of trust, trusting the process and trusting the people. So the process is only as good as the people who develop them and people who actually follow them. And I've seen similar challenges. Some of the challenges are, like you said before, a lot of checks and sums and balances, people just checking each other work. So I guess that might be also related to trust, but also people seeing data in a different way. So very difficult for them to kind of decide who's right. So then you have endless discussions between, for example, clinical affairs, clinical department and regulatory affairs to describe how the data is viewed and how it should be processed. So I really like the idea of putting people in the center, everything around it. But how do you think we can build a trusting organization? For example, how can we ensure that people are accountable for what they do, etc.?
And, you know, I've seen some organizations do this in a great way where it's called, at the end of the day, accountability, making someone accountable for a particular piece of information or a particular piece of the process. But they're doing it in a way which actually means that they understand the value of what they're doing. Having someone understand the value of why that data is really important or why that data element is really important is a key part of this. And so it isn't a stick. This is not something to beat someone with if they don't get it right. Having the value statement in there is actually a carrot. That's the understanding of what's the impact of this? Why am I doing this? And seen some really good examples recently where, in actual fact, the organizations celebrate people getting it right. And that's a key part of this. Make someone feel good about that. You can actually get them to do it again. Make someone feel bad about that because they got it wrong. They're unlikely to do it again. So that's also part of that trust message. If someone understands the value, when downstream of that, they know that data is correct, someone else will now trust that piece of data. So it's really thinking about those sorts of things. And I really love this idea of trying to celebrate when it's actually right. That's the sort of reverse psychology that we've historically had with people doing metrics and KPIs, where they focused on reducing cycle times and understanding where issues are and things like that. Sometimes they forget that the end game is to actually get the filing out. The end game is actually not just to get the filing out, but that now means that drug or that new strength or whatever it might be is now approved, means it can get to a patient. So another thing I've also seen, in actual fact, is companies that are now thinking about how do we make this relevant to our own employees? A great idea is for your own therapeutic areas, think about employees in the company, make it for them, make it personal. So celebration of the fact that things are correct, but also making it personal for an individual means that they now buy into what they're doing and why it needs to be right. And they understand the value at the end of the day.
I think this is brilliant. And actually, the previous episode with Helen, the focus was on KPIs and metrics, which is actually related to some of the topics we talked today. And she was pointing out to the same ideas. It's very important for people to understand why they're doing something, the value of what they do. So what's the value of that data point being there or that document being altered? And that's motivational, right? Because if they know what they do, if they know what's in it for them, and then if this is celebrated, like you just said, I think this is an additional idea that we can actually put into practice, celebrate what each individual does, right? Because at the end of the day, there's so many teams involved, so many people involved for the filing of medicinal products and everything that has to be done with it. But sometimes we just look at the success of the unit. We don't look at the success of the individuals. Data is not the most interesting thing in the world. Like, you know, it's something that computers handle really well, but we as humans with emotions and needs, etc., we see just data as words in systems. So where would you see the value of data, and like, why should we care about having good quality data?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, as you said, you know, data isn't that sexy. There's a certain type of person who love data and, you know, they're great, but that's not everybody. And in actual fact, that's the minority. And so when you think about the value associated with the data, it's really trying to expose what the impact of that data is downstream of when it's been entered or when it's been collected. And that downstream aspect is something that someone who's entering it doesn't always get when they're doing it. You know, you've got some great examples of your simple things like approval dates. When the approval letter arrives from the agency, making sure that the approval date is entered in a timely manner. So, you know, you get that challenge. Well, what's the value of entering the approval date within 3 or 4 days of getting it? Well, the reality is, as soon as you indicate into the system that that approval date and that approval has been received, you're now releasing downstream processing. You're now releasing the ability to move that through to the rest of the organization to say, we do actually have approval. We do actually mean that we can do batch release. There's a direct impact between some of this data which is entered and then the downstream process. So the value really is on helping someone understand what that downstream use case is. It may well be a separate piece of the organization. Let's connect them with that organization so they understand those people's challenges, what keeps them up at night about the data. If you can make the people aware of what keeps them up at night, they will then understand more about where the value of that information is. It's also about spotting issues. Someone coming in and saying, hey guys, this is wrong. The ability to red flag stuff and say to the organization, I know this is wrong, but make that actually something which is of value to the organization. It's not something where you're trying to catch someone out or call someone out. It's actually meaning you've actually solved a problem. You can now move on. I know what, you know, one example where a customer was actually trying to understand why a certain region in the Reg Affairs was actually very slow in doing their downstream processing, doing the actual indication back to the system that something had been approved. And when they actually looked into the detail of that, they're basically saying, well, the reason why they didn't do it so quickly was because they didn't understand what the impact was. They didn't realize that once I get that information, I can now move another part of the process on. So really making people aware of not just the context of their particular step, but where else they fit into that process and giving them visibility. But as I say, also the data being correct, celebrate that that's high quality information. Very rarely do we actually do that. We often think about just making sure the data's there, but if it's poor quality, that's not going to help either. So we're also then producing, you know, when you talk with Helen, think about some of those KPIs being related to the quality of the information, not the timeliness. Quality of the information is also important. And that comes into understanding how the organization views data quality. So thinking about that framework you put in place for effectively visualizing the quality of the information is also adds value to the individual who now knows why they've entered it, but also the fact that they have now added some value to the company. This has made something happen quicker. This has actually meant that something is now correct downstream, whereas in the past it was incorrect. Those are sorts of things which are very easy to surface, but very rarely do people pay attention to them.
This is brilliant. And I think to summarize, quite often, I think we all get caught in our work, right? So we have this to do, but we don't quite often think about two steps before or two steps after, or X and Y steps before and after, because there's so many steps. So we just think about, I have to do this. And sometimes we don't really realize the impact or the value of the work that we do. But if we look at this whole thing holistically from the bird's eye view, how all of us as individuals contribute to the final success of whatever that is, whether it's putting a new medicine on the market that's going to help millions of patients, or whether it's improving the product, et cetera, and we start celebrating individual success, then that can make a huge difference to everyone. Like, I think it can make a huge difference to the attitude of how we approach work. And I also like the idea of accountability. If I know the value of my work, if I know how my work is impacting fundamentally patients at the end of the day, I can become accountable. And if we're all accountable, then life is easy, right? We just get on with the work. We are producing some quality work, and it's very easy on the organizations as well as health authorities and essentially to the patients. as you've seen so many change programs going on and you've been involved in so many discussions, I know that we could have talked about this for hours and hours, and I would love to, but as organizations are thinking about or going through change programs right now, is there any final piece of advice you would give them?
Yeah, you know, I think change management is typically something which is done very well in relation to the focus area it's given, which is typically around the process and what we'll say adoption of the system adoption, getting users to use the system in the right way. It's all about training them in the right way. But oftentimes, you know, what's missed from that, and I think we've said it several times, is understanding the why, understanding the value of what you're doing, and actually understanding how that impacts the rest of the organization. So those change management programs, what I've seen done really, really well is actually also engaging with the local organization within the company. Sometimes change management is just done in an individual training perspective, and then, you know, they've trained, they should be using the system, there's an SOP, surely they're following the SOP. But if there isn't local engagement for that end user to know and to just have a sanity check, you know, some people don't want to log support tickets. People don't, it's not a natural thing to do. And they want to talk to somebody about a particular problem. Giving them the opportunity to actually work with a local expert who understands the local context in that program of activity or in that project that's being deployed actually gives them a much easier path to solve the problem, and actually means that they'll get there quicker. You know, okay, help desk tickets are important when it comes down to the specific issues, but there's also that emotional aspect of that person using the system that change management doesn't always cover. So bringing that into play and thinking about the people and trying to get them to understand the value, it's part of that change management, is also really part of, I think, how things can improve.
That's fantastic. I think it summarizes the whole conversation really well. Paul, with that, I thank you for this short but really thought-provoking conversation. I hope that we can continue working together, helping the industry evolve. And, well, I wish you all the best, and I hope that the listeners have learned something new and that it's going to help them in their own work that they do on a daily basis.
Yeah, fantastic. Good to talk to you, David, and I really enjoyed the series so far. Looking forward to the ones that follow as well.
Great. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks.